SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Two of the Money Line with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside starts now on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
1 hour to go here on Money Line on the grid before we hit the official start. I think the official start is 3 o'clock for Father's Day weekend, Kevin. Mm-hmm. And I say that with meaning. Like, you know, a couple weeks ago was Mother's Day. Took the mom out, took the wife out. Mother-in-law, nice little brunch. Mother's Day. I made it a point here over the past like week and a half, getting everybody ready. Hey, who's ready for Father's Day weekend? Like, wait, it's supposed to be like five. No. It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. DRS is calling the shots over here. It's a weekend affair. Whatever I want, that's what it means. Leave me alone.
Explain yourself.
Yep. If I want to go, And where I want to eat, where I want to go, when I want to sleep, when I want to go to sleep, that's the weekend right there. That's the weekend.
Have you started to think about anything you want on your itinerary?
You see, I'm not an itinerary guy, because if anybody knows me, the best place to be in the world is, what plans do you have? Oh, you don't have any plans? Great. That's like a great day. Like, I don't have to do anything if I don't want to. Like the regimented, you know, I get this. Like, oh, why don't we go down the shore? Like, hit the boardwalk. And I say, hey, man, I don't know. This sounds kind of busy, and I got to drive and do this. Or you want to go out to eat? Yeah, it's really busy on Father's Day around here. Like, everybody's trying to get out to eat and take their dads out here. So it always winds up probably doing not much of anything, which I love, and I'm fine with at that point here. I am, but it is a weekend affair because it's fun. Like, I like to tell my wife, like, on Saturday, hey, you realize it's Father's Day weekend today. Like, you know, what's the deal today? Just because of that edge that puts into it. It wasn't Mother's Day weekend. No, yeah, exactly, it wasn't. That's because Father's Day is a more important holiday weekend. That's why it's a weekend.
It's incredible that you do this, not because you actually want anything. It's just to annoy your wife.
Yes.
Like, again, this is why, like, I'll never feel bad when Donnie's being a pest to me. This is just who he is. Like, he's addicted to the grind of being a complete and utter menace at all times. It's very committed, you are, I would say.
Yes. It's like MJF, like always being in, like, you know,
in character.
Kayfabe. Exactly. Yeah. Like, that's me. Like, there is no, like, it's funny because, like, I grew up in a time and an era where, like, I call it the locker room. Like, you walked into the locker room, you got shredded. You had sneaks on that weren't maybe up to par. You had a shirt on that was kind of questionable. It was open season on whoever came in the locker room, me included, if it was part of me. Or if I had a bad play in a football game, basketball, it was open season. And I still take that now. And sometimes, like your wife, your friend, somebody will say something. Your mom might say something. And, man, I got something on the tip of my tongue. I'm ready to let loose. Like, you know what? Think about this for like the next 3 minutes and don't say it. And then if it still sounds good, say it. If not, just bury that thing, right? Because I get myself in so much trouble just cutting it up. Like every single comment out there, I like to turn around like, you know what? This is good to really sting somebody back with that here. And that's the way I do. Now, you want another story from DRS's household this year? This life?
Oh, why not?
Last 10 years, last 15 years? All right. Now, I'm not going to give away the ages here. But my wife is older than I am. And our birthdays are separated by 2 days. And during those 2 days, I say to myself, man, now you're way older than I am. Now, does that go over well, typically?
No.
Like, those 2 days, there's a 3-year gap in our ages, and it's my favorite 2 days of the year. When I just repeatedly say our ages out loud, I'm like, look at that.
Wait a minute. Does that go over well? Do you mean to tell me that it's not... The gap is simply 2 days, or there's years, and then there's 2 days between the birthdays.
She's really 2 years older than I am.
Oh,
but for those 2 days, the appearance is that she's 3 years older.
Right,
and it's literally my favorite 2 days of the year to let everybody know the ages of us and realize, like, how lucky she got, you know?
You are a young human being like I am.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Yeah.
Like, I know the saying, and I think almost anybody out there does, male or female, happy wife, happy life.
That's correct.
And What do you see? And here's Donnie going, no, correct. Those are words to live by, yes. If you can. But he doesn't follow them at all. He's like, yeah, but that's a little bit boring. So I don't really care too much. It's incredible to me that you, again, on the record, Donnie here, happiest 2 days of my life is when I really, really get to needle my wife. Like, it's just incredible. And I also feel like you're one of those people where someone's like, hey, man, you tone that down a little bit. It's actually getting under my skin. That seems like that you let that go for like a week before you just naturally get right back to the grind.
Yes, and I'll tell you another quick one here. Like, you know, sometimes things get heated around the house. I'm not high. As much as I get excited to be on the radio and on the air, I'm not a high-strung guy. I'm going to just sit back, relax, and sort of, like, laugh things off. But here's the thing that the wife likes the best. Like, the wife will really lay into me sometimes, and I'll be like, hey, keep it down up there. And that, like, goes from number 5 up to level 6 up to level 7, and I giggle about that. Am I wrong? And, like, what's wrong with me where my wife gets angry at me, the better I feel about the situation? That's
like, this is the thing about this, right, too, is, like, I'll give you guys a little example, right? It's commercial. Never mind, man. Let's talk baseball, man. I can't with this guy anymore.
Hey, baseball is coming up with those Phillies 4-0. Adone, the gift that keeps on giving, much like Father's Day all weekend long. You heard that right. It's Moneyline. Join us, 844-843-6879. You fathers out there, call in. It's your weekend.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com. I said you'd
be. Final hour of the week here on Moneyline, right here on the grid. It's Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh bringing that heat. And if you guys want to get involved, 844-843-6879, U.S. Open. Rory McIlroy with a double bogey, K-Dub, and quite frankly, it really should have been a triple bogey as he drained what looked like a 30 or 40 footer to save double, but he does drop back off the leaderboard to -1.
So here's the deal. The updated odds board have shifted as well. Scottie Scheffler +430. Rahm and Rory both 8-1. Then it's Matthew Fitzpatrick, Sam Burns, and Morikawa all at 12-1, with Will Zalatoris being the last golfer under a 20-1 price. Zalatoris is 14-1. Now, again, there's certain things we'd love to take credit for. We're just kind of messing around. But I did... because I was doing a little U.S. Open research, obviously. I knew we were going to talk about it on the show on our own, right? And one thing that I heard that kind of stood out to me was a Scottie Scheffler breakdown, right? And I was a little interested in that number myself when I had saw it. So, you know, whenever you can kind of get a little confirmation bias, it's nice. But basically, the idea was Scottie Scheffler was rocking up the tournaments and leaving everybody in the dust. And he basically doesn't win 2 tournaments in a row. And everyone's like, all right, cool. We don't have to, you know, book Scottie Scheffler like the world number one anymore. But he was still the world number one. Mm-hmm. And a 10-1 gap to 15-1 gap between him and Rory. He did catch my attention. And obviously he is going to be deep in the mix all tournament long.
Yes, he is. And also keeping up to date on some other guys. Tony Finau +2 today, +5. So I went 0-2 on odds boost in the PGA Tour because Finau absolutely imploded here against guys, you know, who did perform well. Like they should have just gave me Calum Tarin, Nick Hardy, right. Matthew Naismith, Brian Harman, Joel Damon in the top 10 here, as opposed to Tony Finau, who got dropped. Also a guy I was looking there, Dustin Johnson, now dropped down to 80-1. So I don't even know what his actual stats are on the golf course. So I remember yesterday saying, "Oh, look, he's playing well." And
wasn't he 14 this morning?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to slide down to see where he at. Is that even inside the cut line that low? I guess it still would be. Let's see. Let me see here. I don't see him listed. I'll find him here, but he's must be way down the board. Let's get to the phone lines here. 844-843-6879. Carl from New Jersey on a Father's Day weekend. How do we do?
What's up, guys? Happy Father's Day to you, Donnie. Hope you guys are having a nice start to your weekend. Beautiful. Almost. Hope all's good.
It's all good over here, Carl. All good. All good. How? What about your house over there? Kids ready for a weekend? A weekend, as we call it, Carl.
It is actually my...
For us fathers.
It is actually my daughter Brielle's third birthday tomorrow, so happy birthday to my daughter Brielle.
Happy birthday.
There you go. Now, by the way, before you get going here, I want to say, like, you tell your daughter it's Father's Day weekend now, okay? Like, priorities here. Just that's the way I get down with my daughter in the house as well. It's Father's Day weekend, not birthdays. It's Father's Day. Now go ahead.
She don't want to hear anything I got to say right now. So it's her world. I'm just living in it.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
Sorry, my two picks yesterday did not hit. Cincinnati Bill probably took a little bit of a hit yesterday. I apologize. but we'll try to get back on track today. I got two plays for tonight. We got MLB. I'm going with a team total going down your road tonight with the Chicago White Sox over 3.5 runs. We got plus 110 at MGM. I don't know if the dome's going to be open tonight. I can't tell, but there's 10-mile-an-hour winds blowing out. It's supposed to be about 90 degrees down there tonight. You got a lefty on the hill for the Astros. So hopefully the White Sox can put a few runs on the board tonight.
Yeah, by the way, Carl, that dome is sealed shut because in the state of Texas, you melt if it's over 65 degrees and they need that there. So that's always my site. But there are two decent lineups in that game. Go ahead. What else you got?
I got the under 7 runs, Royals A's at minus 115. You got Frankie Montas pitching tonight against Granky. You got a big ballpark, and you got two bad offenses going tonight. So we'll go under 7 runs. Royals A's.
Yeah, Montas profiles really, really well in that. And that is the ultimate, you know, pitcher's ballpark at that point. And there are two bad baseball teams, but there's a good pitcher on the mound here, at least on Montas's end. And it is hard, man. Like, you get the 3 runs out of the A's, Kev. It's like, oh, man, miracle they woke up today.
Look, that, what is, you know, I'm glad you bring that. I meant to check, what is their record? Like, that team, if you, Donnie, you could tell, not that you could tell me on that, like, you couldn't tell me they're obviously, like, above 500, but if you tell me they have the worst record in baseball or bang five, like, what are, oh, boy, 22-4.
Yeah, the worst, tied. Tied for the worst. Actually, they are the worst record percentage-wise in Major League Baseball.
Wow.
That's what we anticipated, though. Before that's one of those where it's like, hey, if they kept their head above water, you would have been surprised. But you're not surprised. They're supposed to be dead last in their division and in baseball the way they operate in the offseason. And quite frankly, the way they always operate. Like that team can go on runs, and you never know how they can do it because I guess their scouting system is so good and their coaches in the minor league system just bring the best out of them. But sooner or later, it catches up when you just continue to sell everybody. You just get rocked every single day. 208 runs on the season, which is so far. Hold on now. I misspoke. I forgot my favorite team to bang on here with a .168. Hold on. The A's, who are horrendous at the plate, have 208 runs. Horrendous. So I'm just scanning the board. I'm thinking, I mean, everybody's up in the high twos, you know, threes. There's a team with 168 on the board this year. 168. The Detroit Tigers.
I don't know how they do it. I have no earthly idea how that... Don, if you were like, well, you know, Javi Baez has only played like 7 games, I'd be like, oh, that makes sense. Oh. Right? Like, but I'll tell you this on the Oakland thing, because if I'm going to give myself credit for the pick 6 featuring Alec Manoa, the Minnesota Twins, and my World Series prediction, I said Athletics over the win total. Now, I was 67.5, so the nice thing about that, Don, is you're not out of it with a number like that, obviously. And the thing is, they started, if you remember they started the year, like, they kept taking series somehow?
Yes.
And I was like, oh, they are going to, because of everything you just said, right?
Yes,
an organization that finds a way. And that was kind of my thought of, like, they might slip and fall backwards into, like, 72 wins, right? And be like, dang it, we were trying to be worse than that, but they just couldn't help themselves. But clearly, they did the tear down the right way. Man, they saw everybody off.
And Montas is still out there. He's going to be gone. Montas is probably going to be gone. So it might even get even worse. Like, put it this way. The Oakland Athletics at the trade deadline, I'm like, you know, let's get some pieces in here. No. They're like, let's sell every spare part we have, which is incredible. And then you see Major League Baseball with their annual, not fair that the Rays don't throw a ballpark in Oakland. Oakland is in a top five market. Look across the bay. Look across the bay at a team that basically sells out every single night and has massive success, the San Francisco Giants. And you're over there in Oakland saying, we can't afford a $2 payroll. It's outrageous. It really is.
And now, you know more about this than I do. Is there something that they're doing that they are not having a successful business model in Oakland or financially? Or are they just, we're getting to Vegas. We're getting to Vegas.
We'll talk about it more after the break, but it's a two-pronged attack here for the Oakland Athletics. In Major League Baseball, it's the oddest setup in the world where if you're going to be bad, you better be really bad because the rest of Major League Baseball will pay you, so you're a profitable franchise. It's why everybody got mad at the Marlins saying, you guys aren't even trying to win, but you're more profitable than, say, year-to-year as a basis as the Yankees. So how can that be? Well, the Yankees, the growth is in their team where, okay, we're worth $6 billion. If we lose $90 million this year, who cares? Once we sell, we're going to make that 20-fold, but profitable year-to-year, the Marlins. Profitable year-to-year, like the Oakland Athletics. They're so bad, but they pay so little that they're a very profitable team, even though three people go see them play each and every game. It's incredible. But we're going to talk Major League Baseball after the break. I got a couple interesting plays, to say the least. Come on back with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh here Friday afternoon on the grid, hanging out here on Moneyline. If you want to get involved here before your Father's Day weekend starts up, 844-843-6879. Let's talk some baseball. And let's talk how I'm not happy with this card. Worlds, planets should have collided today, Kevin, with the amount of hot weather and wind blowing out. And it just didn't work with the pitchers and the lineups as they had. So I'm going to give you one of my plays to let you know in the direction that I am heading today. And it's going to be a late-night game. It's the Guardians and the Dodgers. Zach Plesac matching up against Clayton Kershaw. It's a minus 290. It's a total of 8. And if you want to take the run line for the Dodgers, it's -1.5. Now, the reason I bring this up here is we take a look at some of the statistics that I like to look at. Again, I always preface this by saying, I need a minimum amount pitched on the season. I can't have one guy pitch 3 innings and struck everybody out. He's the best pitcher on the card. No, he's not. You got to give me at least 20 innings so I can see some things of what you're doing. Because obviously, most of these pitchers have way more than 20 innings, but that's the baseline that I use. If we look at Clayton Kershaw, you know, on his season, a 70 xFIP minus, which is the best on the card today, an ERA of 2.12, an xFIP of 2.74, and a Sierra of 2.81. Sensational. So we line that up and we take a look at Zach Plesac today. He's not having a bad season. Now, granted, he's the 22nd ranked pitcher on my card today, and he's only a 109 xFIP minus. Like, that tells you right there. Usually you want to get, like, let's just say, if there's 30 pitchers, we'll round it up. 10 of those guys are under like 100. The rest of the 20 you can mix and match and have fun. That's not the case here. Like, there's a lot of pitchers hanging around that average number. Plesac, one of those, 4.70 ERA, 4.32 xFIP, Sierra 4.38. Not disastrous, obviously not good. So you say, well, Donnie, which way did you go? Just a team. I didn't even have the chance to go to a team total in the Dodgers because I didn't even think it made some sense, meaning they have to get like 6 runs in the game. So here's where how down in the depths I went to try to profit today. I took the Dodgers money line, which not straight, minus 290, and paired that up. I think this market might be really emerging for me as well. With Freddie Freeman just to score a run tonight at a plus 115 price. So I'm trying to start to get in because I have a couple other ones here, which I'm going to tell you about in just a second. But that's how usually you can look at a game. I have one team total true on the board tonight, which I'm not even in love with, but I think it sort of makes sense. But that's how far down the rabbit hole I had to go today. The Dodgers money line and Freddie Freeman to score a run as a parlay at plus 115.
So here's what you're going to have to do for me and for those listening.
Yeah.
Give us the explanation of why a run scored for Freddie Freeman is what was the piece, opposed to a hit, an RBI, two plus bases. You tell me.
It's great because I do have some reasoning behind it. It wasn't just like, ooh, Freddie Freeman's good. He gets on base and he'll score a run. It wasn't so simple like that. But I look at it as I said to myself, do you want Mookie Betts? And maybe you do, like want Mookie Betts there to score a run. But here's the way I played it out. Freddie Freeman's in the two hole here, right? Let's just say Betts is on base, which is great for Freddie Freeman. Maybe he can drive him in. Maybe he doesn't, you know, you can't pitch around him. So he could, let's just say, singles. But I wanted Trey Turner, Max Muncy, Will Smith, Justin Turner behind him, which means that if they win this game, and let's just say they score four runs, there's a really good chance Freddie Freeman was involved in that, meaning he was on base with either a couple of hits or one of those big boys drove him in there. So that's why I went with that. It was a cheap price as opposed to going with just like a single hit. That would have been a parlay, I believe, that's like a minus 130. I wanted plus money, so I just figured if the Dodgers are going to win this game, which, again, is half the battle, I think they win. Much better pitcher with Kershaw than Plesac. Much better team with the Dodgers than Cleveland. But I just went with another spot to try to level up, because you're right. You go, well, how about an RBI? RBI is a little bit harder to do than just get a, you know, flat-out scoring a run, and also a little bit harder to do technically in the two-hole because, you know, the bottom of the lineup's up, then Mookie Betts, sure, Betts can get a double and you can single him, and I get that. But I just thought Freddie Freeman, if he gets on base, you got some guys behind him, hit home runs, hit doubles, and he'll score that way. That's why I went with it. So a little bit of a thought process behind it, but again, it just tells you. Like, I looked at this card up and down and said, there's way too many good pitchers here, and I actually bet a couple unders today too, but that was the first play I put on the board was, okay, the Dodgers are going to win, Freddie Freeman will be a part of it, make it into a plus 115 parlay, as opposed to saying, okay, Dodgers win, let me lay $290 to win 100.
Yeah, the idea is this guy is going to be on base, right?
Yes,
and correct. It's the top of the order, right? Like, I would you know, tend to imagine, right, that if you're betting those, you're betting a guy that's hitting one, two, maybe third. You know what would be interesting, though, is like, what kind of number are you getting on the nine hitter? Right.
Yeah, I'll say it right now. Let's take a look.
You know, so because obviously, if Mookie and Freddie are going to bring home RBIs, is Chris Taylor the benefactor all of a sudden?
Like, here's that. Mookie Betts minus 155. He's the highest.
That's crazy. I just got to say, though, now, because you gave a very legitimate breakdown and everything like that, but I don't think I would ever be laying minus 155 on a guy to have a run scored. There's just so much that factors around it.
Yes.
Doesn't that feel so big?
It does, but Freddie's right behind him at a minus 145, but I wanted to get that second there because I sort of wanted, like, it kind of says, well, why don't you just take Mookie Betts? Because then you have Freddie Freeman behind him. But I actually thought of this process. Mookie Betts leads off with a, I don't know, single, right? That means you can't pitch around Freddie Freeman. So Freddie Freeman singles. All right, now you got first and third. And then, or if quite frankly, if Betts is out, Freeman gets on, Turner, Muncy, Smith. I sort of tried to overthink it there, but make it make sense in my mind of why I wouldn't take Mookie Betts and I'll take Freddie Freeman. And that's really the way it came out. Like, if Betts walks, that's good because Freeman will get a pitch to, because I'm looking, as you said, I want a guy that I think is going to get on base a lot. And I just think it's Freddie Freeman in that order. Yeah. But you can get, like, guys at the bottom of the order. Gavin Lux is supposed to be in the nine hole. He's a plus 125. Chris Taylor's a 120. Who's the worst on the Dodgers?
Hold on,
so I guess it would be plus 125 for Gavin Lux to score a run out of the nine hole.
That's interesting. Now, obviously, you're parlaying here, right? But
yes,
what is their team total? Six?
Let me see what it was here. I don't think it is. Is it five?
Plus 125 on a nine hole? Like, if you compare that today to, now I'm obviously going to the extreme of the extreme.
Five. Right? But it's five. Need six to win. Yeah.
Like, who's batting nine in the Detroit Tiger lineup today? You know what I'm saying?
The worst on the Tigers, or excuse me, Tigers, the Guardians, apologize. It's Ernie Clement at plus 240. That's the worst of it.
Yeah, like, that, man, if that's not, if that doesn't describe it perfectly.
Yeah. Like, it's a fun market, too. Like, let's just say you go, I want Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman to both score a run. You parlay that together. It's plus 182. But it makes sense, though. Like, if the Dodgers are going to win, now, trust me, I bet, like, okay, if this team's going to be good, let me just get this guy to get a base hit. Oh, they have 13 hits? Yeah, your guy's the only guy in the lineup that didn't get a hit, and he was supposed to be the best guy on the team. I've seen that happen before. But it's a fun market to try to play into because it also adds in, I like the RBI market, but it's just, you know, score. Okay, your team total comes in at 4. Well, there's probably a good chance that Freddie Freeman scored. Home run, double, gets on second base, driven in, whatever it might be. I just wanted to say, okay, the Dodgers are going to win, but I'm not paying that price, and I want to turn it into a plus money thing. So we'll see if that works out. Now, I'm going to take it to the next level on this one. You'll like this. Major League Baseball tonight. We're going to go out to Colorado. You know who's playing? San Diego Padres has been on fire at the plate going up against the Colorado Rockies. Now, get this one. Let me just pull up the lineup here. And again, I was had to bet these early in the morning, so I'm hoping these lineups don't change. Like, oh, by the way, Freddie Freeman's going to lead off tonight. Like I said, oh, I don't know if that was what the game plan was. So you're sort of trying to have this play out in your mind, hoping that this is the lineup that you're going to see tonight. So let's take a look at the San Diego Padres. Profar, Cronenworth, Machado, Voit, Hosmer, Nola, Kim, Grisham, and Azekar. Let's just see if that's the lineup that they anticipate tonight that plays out. Going up against Kyle Freeland. I went with Cronenworth to score a run tonight out of the two-hole, matched up with a Machado RBI back-to-back. Now, I didn't just pull them out of thin air. They're the two best guys on the team, basically, at the top of the order, the way they hit left-handed pitching. Cronenworth has a 369 weighted on-base percentage. Machado has a 323 ISO and a 402 weighted on-base percentage. So what's the perfect scenario here? First inning, Cronenworth doubles, Machado singles him in, you cash that ticket. It's a plus 150, but I'm figuring I got 9 at-bats in Colorado, hot weather, wind blowing out. And I'm going to take the number 2 guy and 3 guy here. Basically, just Cronenworth getting on base multiple times, whether it's Machado drives him in, Voit, Hosmer, Nola, whoever it is. I thought it made sense, but just riding Machado, who I wouldn't be surprised, hits a home run tonight and just ends that all by himself. But we'll see what happens. But that's how, again, that's how deep I'm going down because if we're looking at the San Diego Padres, what is their team total tonight? Because obviously being out in Colorado, all right, it's 12.5 as a total for the game. So if we look at the Padres, you need 7 runs. So I just said to myself, instead of just taking 7 runs, if they do score 7 times, isn't there a really good chance that Cronenworth scored and Machado had an RBI and you don't have to get the 7? That's the way I looked at it, at a plus 150, not even like a minus 110 price.
Which, that does match up there. And I think it kind of puts into perspective, though, how not just dip, but how unique this board is. Because, you know, again, team total play of the day, obviously we know, right? Those are over situations, only very, very specific, right? But when it pertains to, you know, Donnie's favorite bets of the week, whenever it might be. The unders can check in. Whatever it needs to be is what it'll be. But it's basically this day, a weird day, where every ballpark is saying, runs, runs, runs. And every pitcher's like, good luck. It ain't going to happen on our watch.
Yeah. Yep. That's the downfall of today. It could have been one of those days where you just tee it up and just sit back and let that phone vibrate with how many runs were coming in, and it doesn't look like that's going to be the case. I do have 2 unders, but also we're going alt totals to the max coming up after this break. Donnie and Kevin in the afternoon on a Friday. Come on back with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And Donnie Wrightside.
All right, 20 minutes until the official start of Father's Day weekend here on Moneyline. Donnie Wrightside along with Kevin Walsh. And I know we have a hot world topic we're going to go over in just a second. But I'm just going to give – are you ready for these two plays I got coming out? Just listen to this. Alt team totals. I took the Blue Jays over 2.5 runs and the Nationals, game 2, over 2.5 runs versus the Phillies. That's a minus 129. So 3 runs apiece, that covers it. I don't want the Jays score a ton of runs, say, against the Yankees, but they match up very well against Montgomery. I just need 3. Bailey Falter is on the mound for the Phillies in game 2 against Washington. I don't even care who's in the lineup. I took them over 2.5 there. Now, here's one that you're really going to get a kick out of. Take a look at this plus 104 parlay. The Angels-Seattle Mariners game total, over 4.5 runs. The Twins-Arizona game tonight, over 5 runs. Matched up with the Dodgers team total, over 3.5, plus 104. See how far down I had to go to reach to get some bets in today?
Yeah, scratching and clawing. Scratching. And you people better appreciate it, too. I'll tell you, again, Not that the listeners don't appreciate it, but not you all. But when you hear plays like that, that's someone who took a lot of time to figure it out, right?
There was no nap today before the show. I didn't even get my nap in. That's what I had to do.
I had to kick the can down the road to figure it out. Now, can we get into some world news?
Please.
While we have the time.
Please do it. Please do
it. So yesterday, I believe it was, they dropped the 16 host cities for the 2026 World Cup, which will be taking place in North America. Now, let me start with that. Is it being phrased as it's taking place in America or North?
Yes.
It's South America too. So how are they? Like, what's the phrase there? Like,
well, who's in South America?
Is it just North America? It's just North America. But is that how it's being phrased?
I believe so. I believe it is. But the feeling is like it's the United States that got it, and they're just piecing on like a game or two in Canada or Mexico to keep them happy.
Like, that's why, because they never, it's a continent that gets it. Instead of, like, it's not like when they go, all right,
it's
the Euro.
It's usually a country that gets it, but this year, like, a continent got it. Yes. Yeah.
So I wanted to go through a couple of these and, just see what maybe stood out here to Donnie Rideside. So Toronto, right? Or Canada, I should say. They go to Toronto, Vancouver. If you're going, those feel like the two places you'd go, right? I mean, based on size, investment in soccer, no problem. Three spots in Mexico. Mexico City, Monterrey, Guadalajara. Now, I've heard of all three of those places, and I don't know anything about nothing. That feels pretty solid, does it not, DRS? Are you all right with the three Mexico cities?
Yeah, I could live with one, but
maybe a little generous.
Yeah.
All right. Uh-huh. Now let's rip off some of the United States that ultimately get the nod here.
Yes.
New York, New Jersey, you had to see it coming. Mm-hmm. I do love the games are in New Jersey. But they will never say New Jersey because they have to say New York, because otherwise it's like, wait a minute, what? So we all know how that works. They're going down into Philly, playing where the Birds play. So they're keeping it East Coast.
Yep.
Miami, Florida, you see that coming a mile away.
Yes.
And I'm going to save a couple of these because I got some questions. They're going to go to San Francisco, play where the Niners play. Sure. Mm-hmm. SoFi Stadium out there in L.A., you better believe it. They're going to Seattle. Listen, we know the Sounders are big out there. Sure, Seattle deserves it. Dallas, Texas, gigantic. Houston, Texas, gigantic. Atlanta, Georgia, Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Mm-hmm. Now, there's two left.
Yeah.
And one of them I know is going to be a hot-button issue for you. So let me bring up the 15 before we get to 16.
Yeah.
Boston, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
You just tell me if I'm off base. I think soccer, Boston, Massachusetts doesn't jump off of the page. Am I off base?
No, you're not off base. Because, quite frankly, anything you tell me about soccer, I'm going to slander whoever. You're right. Boston, they don't even know what soccer is up there. I mean, they see a soccer ball. What is it, a softball? Somebody made the softball too big. They start, like, they take the soccer ball and start shooting it in a basketball hoop, right? No idea what it is.
Now, as I'm going through this, right, there's going to be an overarching issue for Donnie that there's too many people included, right?
Yeah.
But if I would have submitted Donnie just that list of 15, we maybe could have had a small debate. And he would have said, whatever. But then this last group gets included.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew this was going to be a problem for Donnie Rideside. The final place, Kansas City, Missouri, Arrowhead Stadium. Donnie, you get your groups out there, your favorite country. Your buddies are going to California. A couple of them are going to New York, New Jersey. Nah. Some people get to try and see what Toronto's like. And you go out there, Donnie, and you make the trip. to Kansas City, Missouri. You think some people will be a little disappointed when those groups get drawn?
Yes, and the best part is like, because I'm the type of guy that sees that, and I don't care who gets it, but also, I'll get to Philadelphia in just a second here, but we're talking about Kansas City, right? And I just look, and like, the people of Denver are absolutely on fire that Kansas City got it over, like, the Denver bid, and I'm like, what world do we live in where, like, it was a crushing moment because your city didn't get a World Cup game? Like, the same thing with Washington, oh my God, like, it's never happened before. Like, the capital of a country didn't, like, have to get to host a game. Like, this is unbelievable. It's happened. I said, let me trust you. Trust me right now. I will drive the city, the stadium of Lincoln Financial down to D.C. and let you guys have your World Cup game. Because I could care less. Like, Philadelphia had, like, a watch party. Like, the mayor and the council there, and they were cheering. I say to myself, yeah, who cares? And how many games are going to be there? One? And you know they're going to be like Ecuador and Guatemala who's going to be the game. You're not getting the United States in Philly, right? Ecuador and Guatemala will play one time at like 12 in the afternoon, and you'll never see another game in Philadelphia. So congratulations. But back to Kansas City. Like, what are we doing here? Who's going to Kansas? Like, the people overseas, whether they're in France or, you know, whoever qualified. Oh, honey, where are we going? Kansas. Where is Kansas City? I don't think it's in Kansas. Oh, where is Kansas City? Oh, come on. Like, who wants to go to Kansas City and play an Arrowhead in a soccer game when you could be playing, like, hey, you could have went to L.A., you could have went to San Francisco, Dallas, wherever. You're really going to Kansas City. Brutal. But
you would have thought that they would have just been like, all right, we've got SoFi Stadium, Levi Stadium. Let's, like, hold on. Did I no Allegiant Stadium? Like, Vegas didn't make the cut? Don, you would know this. Like,
yes,
every summer, the big European clubs run through America, draw big houses.
Yeah.
Don, they must have legitimately 7 huge soccer games this summer at Allegiant Stadium. Real Madrid, Barcelona. Yeah, because Donnie,
because the players want to be there too.
Of course they do. Of course they do. Vegas doesn't make the cut. Like, Donnie, they couldn't have turned the Rose Bowl into. Now, maybe though, the point is that this is all supposed to be spread out. The people at Arrowhead are going to go wild, right? So I'm mainly kind of poking, prodding, and having fun. This, I know, does irk you a little bit here. Now, I will say this, though. Let's just say you do get the United States game.
Yes.
A part of you is either direction, either MetLife or Lincoln Financial. I assume it would have to be Lincoln Financial for you to. You wouldn't consider it. You wouldn't have any interest in going.
No, absolutely not. And I got to tell you, like, this, I mean, I'm a bit like a bad citizen. I got to be a bad citizen because I got to tell you, when the World Cup goes around, the U.S. gets smoked in it. I get a little, like, tingle feeling in me.
No,
yeah,
what do you
I
mean?
Do. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. I do.
No.
I'm telling
now,
you.
See,
I do.
I'll tell you who I get it, who I enjoy seeing struggle. Now, I got to be careful about it. It is what it is.
Uh-huh. Who?
I love when Italy loses. I'll tell you why.
Oh.
And I'll tell you why.
Why?
As they're not, and by the way, they're not even in the World Cup this year. I'll tell you why.
True.
I absolutely love it. Because growing up and still, a lot of my friends who claim to, right, you know, Donnie, America through and through. You know the type.
Yes.
But when the World Cup comes around.
My ancestors.
They're straight from Sicily.
Yes, exactly.
Straight from the shoe.
Getting the boot on their calf, like right before the World Cup starts. Yes, tattooed.
Like they've been studying how to speak Italian all week long.
They start calling it Italia.
And I've been like, hold on a minute. You mean to tell me the United States played Italy? Like, you're going hard for Italy, and they're not. And they don't even be like, oh, I'd be tough. They're like, yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, yes.
Wrapped in a flag. The flag wrapped around them going down the street. Yes.
Yeah.
Breaking out into soccer chants. Oh, my goodness.
So, for that reason, I really do find it funny when they lose. Because, like, it's just, it's so bizarre. Like, they are, again, they're the type of people who go, I'm America through and through. Italy rocks up, and they drape themselves in the red, white, and green, just like that. Like, what are they going to boycott the World Cup this year? No, they're going to be there. Oh, we're United States fans now for this.
Yes,
year.
Correct.
My
yeah.
goodness.
Yelling Forza Italy, whatever. Who knows?
Yes, Forza Italia, yep. Forza Azul.
Drinking Peronis, Jabroni Peronis.
I went to, they kind of like lined out, there's an Italian feast over in Brooklyn when they won
the
Euros.
San Gennaro? Oh, was it another San Gennaro out there type?
No,
just to break it out?
San Gennaro's, I think, the one in the city.
I mean, it's the same place. What are you talking about?
No, it's not. It's easy now.
Yeah.
And they had it on. And I was like, and they're all going wild during this penalty shootout. And I'm being very quiet. Little fist pump. It did not. Italy ended up winning and everything like that. But they started throwing drinks in the air. They're drenching themselves. Outrageousness.
That is pretty good. Every 4 years you get together and unite under your great uncle. You know, your great uncle went on a cruise to Italy. Now you're Italian all of a sudden.
Yes. And it's because they won the World Cup when all of us were like, 06, 04, whatever year, 06, right? Like, so because of that, they're all 11. Like, I got to be an Italian thing. Italy won.
Jerseys. They have a rock out like the jersey, and yeah, it's good
stuff. Oh, of course, by the way.
It's 2026, too. Did we, like, announce it, like, 3 months before the teams are getting here? like, you see the big celebrations, and you realize, like, hold on. Like, the World Cup is this year, but no, this is, no, 2026 is going to be your year that you can do it. Now, also, who gets the final? Yeah.
I'm guessing that information isn't out there yet. That's my guess. See, like, again, this is what I always talk about too, though. This is, you know, being naive
is
when it's
Kansas City. I'll tell you who's not getting that World Cup final.
You know, the thing is, though, is you could almost make an argument, right? In like, yeah, but they're in the middle of the country.
Yeah,
it makes it easy for everybody.
Oh, my goodness.
But I can't believe we just spent the whole segment on this.
Yeah.
But like, They could give us this. Like, hasn't everybody qualified or no? Like, imagine if nobody's even qualified yet. What are we doing?
Did they? Oh, they're all qualified. Everybody is, aren't they?
I don't know.
Nobody knows what's going on, but the cold-hearted, handsome devil is going to come back with some picks right after the break. It's Donnie and Kevin in the afternoon. Come on back!
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quick segment here on Moneyline. And as I used to say in my younger days, holla! If you hear me, because it's time for some picks, K-Dub. And I'm going to rifle off a few. Some unders I did like today. Rangers-Tigers, under 8.5. Alt-line at -135. Astros and the Sox, under 8.5. Also at a -135. I did go with the total today. Red Sox-Cardinals, over 9.5 at a -130. Wind's blowing out there. Hot weather. Now, again, not a great game. I also did take a little piece of the St. Louis Cardinals team total, over 4.5 at a -125 price. But I'm really digging tonight. Like, you guys can trust me. Like, when I give out plays, like, there is something to it. I don't just throw them out there. But I got to tell you tonight, it's one of those where I say, if I come up aces and win some money, it's like, all right, I'll take it. But at the same time, I'm really not going to be patting myself on the back like, man, I love this card. Like, more good than luck tonight, but there was a thought process going to everything I had. I'm just not in love with the card. What do you got tonight?
Man, it's an interesting set of strikeout props that I have.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you this. One guy that met the typical situation is Hunter Green, but he met it last time and went over. When that happens, I try and take a step back because he right now is one of those guys that is just blowing through expectations, Hunter Green. Even if he can still get hit a little bit, the guy is just absolutely crushing it with strikeout props. Here are the three guys that I'm eyeing up as always. Check the Twitter to get that final confirmation. Scooball under 6.5, -120. Michael Wacha over 3.5 at +104. Mackenzie Gore over 4.5, +112.
There you go. Got some stuff on the deck. And also, as we said, it is Father's Day weekend. So happy Father's Day weekend to all the fathers out there. And if you're watching the U.S. Open, I always like the fact that the U.S. Open every single year concludes on Father's Day, just sort of that tradition. But also, we could have had a Game 7 on Sunday that we now don't have, but that's fine. We're off and running here in Major League Baseball season, and that's what we're going to be doing for the rest of the summer here during the afternoon on Moneyline. Thanks again for tuning in this week. All the great callers that we had. And you know what? We'll see you guys next week. Good luck.